Hi, this is Jackie.
And this is Debbie. In this episode, AADL talks to former employees of Argus Camera. In 1931, a group of Ann Arbor businessmen got together to address the problem of unemployment amid the Great Depression. They raised stock and formed a company that would become Argus Camera. Argus went on to become one of the largest employers in Ann Arbor and one of the most prestigious and well-known camera manufacturers in the world. We talked with Milt Campbell, Art Dersham, and Elwin Dersham about their years at Argus during its heyday in the 1940s and 50s, and the challenging years of the 1960s and 70s as the company's fortunes declined and Argus left Ann Arbor forever.
Well, I started at Argus in 1953, right out of high school, and I stayed there until they closed up, which was, actually they partially closed in the 60s, but I stayed until 1970, commuting to South Carolina at last. And when they closed the service department, in 62, they moved it to Elk Grove, Illinois. And they thought they could train anyone there in 2 weeks to service all these cameras. That was their thought. And it just didn't work out. So then they, after I commuted there for about a year and a half, every week, then they decided to bring part of the service back here in Ann Arbor, because I said if we could get half a dozen people or so, we could probably do more work than they were doing with 40 people down there. And we did that, and then within a few months, decided to move the service department back here. Actually moved it to Dexter. They purchased this building out there, and they were planning on moving the whole operation to Dexter. Then they decided they were not going to move the plant out to Dexter, so they said everything was going to go down to South Carolina to the plant down there. Well, they just couldn't handle everything like they did, so myself and Art Dersham and six or seven other people, we set up a service center back here in Dexter. It was called Hearing Camera at that time. We were doing probably 3/4 of their repairs up here with just 8 or 9 people, and they had like 40 or 50 down there. And it was a bad deal. People down there, you just couldn't train them to do that technical work like repairing cameras and anything. They just didn't have the interest in learning it. I'm sure they could have, because there was a few that were able to do it. But as a rule, most of them, they just couldn't handle it, and then they were losing a lot of things with they were disappearing, cameras would disappear, and we had a complete collection of Argus cameras down there, and they put them in a warehouse, and that got all broken up and they disappeared. So there was
Now did you follow the company down to
yes Carolina? I commuted for a year and a half. Even after we set up here in Camera, I was still flying back and forth, and I'd bring parts back because we were doing all our warranty work also. After a year's time, I said I just wouldn't want to go down there anymore because I had a family here and didn't want to fly back and forth every week.
If you can just go back and tell us a little about what your job or jobs were at Argus.
Okay, when I was at Argus, I started out as in the Argus service department, and I was focusing cameras after they were repaired, because each they had a special machine to focus them all on. And I did that for a few months, and then I began to repair cameras. And I repaired cameras for probably just most of the rest of the time until moved out of Ann Arbor in, I believe it was like 62. I think it was in 62. I moved it to Elk Grove, Illinois.
Art Dersham, can you tell us about your years at Argus?
Okay. I was hired in 1952 by Grace Radford, And I worked in the service department repairing basically all the box-type cameras, which was the 75, the 40, and the E model, and C3s, which was our bread-and-butter camera. I stayed there for about 16 years, I believe we were there, like Milton mentioned, until the place closed. And that's when I left.
Did you have any previous experience with camera when you first started there?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No, I knew nothing about the cameras. I learned all the basic things about it in over 2 weeks. Maybe a little bit longer.
Did you come as a youngster, fresh out of school?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I had just come back out of the Army. I had been in the Air Force. Served in Europe.
Second World War.
Correct.
Did you ever get to use any of the cameras that Argus supplied?
Yes, I did. Matter of fact, I had an A2 camera that my sister gave me, and I took it overseas with me, and I took pictures of one of our unfortunate accidents that happened on takeoff. I went around the aircraft and took pictures of all the various areas of the plane.
Elwin, when did you start at the
I started camera? In 1953 and worked through till 1963. I was there 10 years. And I started working in government inspection on the T-149s and the T-150s. We had government contracts there.
What did those cameras do? What were they?
They weren't cameras. They were telescopes.
Telescopes. So who used them? Which branch?
Army Ordnance. They were building these scopes for tanks. I worked on inspection there for about 2.5 years until we lost our contracts. That was the problem with government work. You had to bid, and you might get the contract, and it lasted for about 2.5 years while I was there.
Now, government work, is that a security issue?
Oh, yeah.
Was that in?
Yeah, you had to wear a badge. You had to wear a white coat. It was a white room. Everything was
sterile.
Sterile, right, yeah.
So after the government contracts, what did you do?
Well, when that ran out, I kept right on working in quality control. They sent me over to the older building where these guys worked. And I started inspection on slide projectors. Then we went into the movie projector business. And then we went into the movie cameras. And movie cameras were a big pain because they were having problems with registration and springs not holding up in them. And I would process film.
Let's go back to when you started. Milt, what brought you to Argus Camera? Did you have previous experience in cameras? Or?
Well, I knew some people that worked at Argus, and they said it was a great place to work. So that's why I went there, and Art Parker hired me, and I started right in the service department at that time. I never worked. I did work in some other areas when I got. What they did is, depending on your seniority, you could get bumped out of your job. Well, if there was a couple of people going to bump me out of my job in the service department, so they put me in accounting for a month or so.
Accounting?
Yes. And I was just looking for errors, and I did find a lot of things for a lot of product that disappeared that they didn't realize. Then I was told my former boss that I was going to leave because I hated the job, so they moved me out to the warehouse where they filled orders for everything. And I was a supervisor over, I think, like 15 or 20 women. I'd never had any experience of... But anyway, that was very interesting, and I didn't want to stay there either. So I was going to leave, and then they said, well, we have a job back temporarily for you back in the service department.
Art, what made you come to Argus? Were you here in Ann Arbor area?
Yes. I probably... got some of my information from my sister, who was already there working. She thought that there might be a possibility that there would be some kind of work that I would be interested in there. So I just went down and applied. Didn't take long, and I was in.
How many people would you estimate they were employing at the time that you started?
Between 900, I think, to 1,300 people working there. And my wife, of course, did payroll.
Did she work there before you, or, I mean, did you meet her at Argus?
No, she was hired because they were looking for somebody to work in the IBM section, which ran the payroll at that time. And she came in as a night person. She worked midnights and worked on all the various IBM equipment.
So she came in after you when you were already married. And Elwin, did Art get you a job, or did you do that on
just about. I think everybody in Ann Arbor worked at Argus at one time. My sister, my brother-in-law both worked there. They built radios back there in the 40s. Before that, they built organs there in that building. When I got out of the service, I went to Argus and saw Art, and he says, well, you fit right in on government, so that's how
so
I
learned. So when you go apply to Argus, did you apply to a certain department, or you just apply for a job and they decide that where you would fit best?
Yeah, right.
Is that how they were?
Yeah. They were looking for somebody in quality control and government, and it was central fire control, and that's what I had training on when I was in the service. So I went there, and that lasted for 2.5 years, best job I ever had.
Milt, did you go to school here in Ann Arbor, or where did you go to school as growing up?
I went to school at, was in Tappan Junior High School. That's when I moved into the area, and then to the old Ann Arbor High School. I didn't graduate from there because my folks moved, and they moved to Dexter. And I had heard Dexter was a terrible place, so I didn't want to go to school. But I went there. And I had had everything my senior year I had in the previous year here in Ann Arbor High School. So it was very, very simple to go to school there.
What year did you graduate?
53.
And did you gentlemen go to school in Ann Arbor?
Ann Arbor High School.
Ann Arbor.
What years did you graduate?
50.
42.
Now, were your folks from Ann Arbor? You grew up here?
Pretty much, yeah.
Milt, your family from Ann Arbor,
no,
or where?
They were, we had lived on a farm out in Anchorvale, Michigan, which is just near Lake St. Clair. And they moved to a farm outside of Ann Arbor.
But you would still go to the Ann Arbor High School?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to go around the room now and have each of you describe a typical day at Argus Camera for you. When would your day start? How long would it last? What would you do?
Well, our dates started at 7 in the morning. What I particularly did after the first few months, I just focused cameras. But then after that, I was repairing cameras, and our day ended at 3:30 in the afternoon.
As we went on, some days the load would get heavier. We would work 9 hours. Sometimes we even came in on Saturday. In later years, we did.
What do you do for lunch? Is there a cafeteria?
Yes,
there's
a very nice cafeteria.
Hot food?
Hot food, or anything you wanted. They had an excellent cafeteria. Well, they had I think there was like 1,300 people there, so they had to have a good cafeteria.
And it was free?
No, you had to pay. But everything was very reasonable.
How many people could fit in the cafeteria at one time? How big was it?
Well, I imagine 100 people, but every half hour it switched. You know, you had a half hour for lunch, and like I went to lunch at 11:30 and had to be back to work at 12. There was different groups from different departments would have different times.
The area you worked in, describe some of the instruments and tools and things that you used.
Well, in repairing, it's mostly small tools that, you know, from small screwdrivers and tweezers and all that type of thing. Some cameras were much easier to repair than others. Some of them didn't have very many parts. The ones I repaired were like the Argus 21, the Argus C4, and eventually into the C44. If they got behind on other products, I would service them also.
What's the most difficult one to repair?
At that time, it was probably in the C4, 44, 21. Later on, the latter part of the experience was they started importing cameras from other countries, or from Japan especially. And then those became more complicated because you didn't have the parts handy that to replace things when you needed to. If they didn't have them in stock, they'd have to order them.
On the C3s, we had to, one of the biggest problems with that camera was the blades in the camera itself. The people would take and put oil in the shutters and they would stick together. Naturally, they wouldn't work. So we had to tear the camera all apart and wash them out in technochloride and dry them by hand, of course, and then put them back together. One of the other things that we did was the rangefinder would be out of adjustment, so we had a target that we had to take and set it from 25 feet, and then it would take it out from there to infinity. And, of course, we had to set the shutter speeds as well on a machine. After that, while the camera was taken to an inspector, he would check it. If anything was wrong with the camera that didn't look right after the inspector checked it, why, you got it back and fixed it until it was right.
They do not only repair Argus camera, they repair other people's camera?
Well, what Argus was importing other cameras from Japan.
To sell?
Yes. And so we would service them also.
Did they keep the names of the other companies, or did they put them under the Argus name?
They put them all under the Argus name.
So they would get different model names
and
numbers?
Yes, it would just be a different model, right? Yeah, like the Argus Autronic, when they first came out, that was an imported model, and then he starts building them here. But the Japanese, back in the late 50s, would come and sit by our sides watching everything we did so they could see about cameras. Argus just let them come here, and a few years later, they were building something very similar.
And cheaper, too.
Yes, that's what really hurt Argus, is the lower-priced cameras that would be imported from these other companies.
Did the people from design ever come down and ask you, well, is there something that just keeps happening that we could fix in design?
They were right there most of the time. Things would go wrong, and we'd call in engineering, and they would try and work on the problem, get the springs fixed so that they wouldn't break, or get the registration so this little tooth would come in here and get a hold of the film and pull it down right instead of just jittering it like this. I'd have to have a clean stroke every time it would come in there, and sometimes it wouldn't come in right. It would hit it at an angle and cause registration. So.
In inspection, what's your day like?
I started at 7 also. 3:30 was quitting time. Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention the nice cafeteria we had. We also had people that would run uptown to eat quick. And we had a bakery right up on the corner.
That was one of the questions
we
wanted to ask.
A little house up on the corner. You could sneak up there and get, I don't know what name it was. Do you remember?
I don't remember the name of it.
They'd go up there and get sweet rolls.
Because in the 50s and 60s, there were ads for so many small little restaurants and bakeries in that around your area that we wondered if people ever had time to run up and use a lot of lunch counters then.
One of my friends, Robert Camburn, and I would walk up to the restaurant on Main Street, just
called the Round Table.
Was it the Round Table?
The Round Table. Yeah.
That was, and we could go up there and order our lunch, and they were very, very fast. They'd have it to us in just a matter of minutes, and we could walk all the way back in a half hour. But we both had very long legs, and we could walk up there in 5 minutes and walk back in 5 minutes. And
so you wait at the lunch counter, though, right?
Yes,
you
we eat right there.
The least amount of time that you work for Argus is 10 years, which is that one. And a lot of people stay a lot longer. What do you account for the loyalty?
What made you stay?
Well, it was actually a well-paying company, and we had profit sharing, good vacation time. It was just a great place to work. In fact, I had a brother working for General Motors, and I was making more money than he was making. and more vacation time and everything. So once somebody got there, they usually stayed because it was an excellent place to work. All the personnel, everything was just excellent place.
You guys used to go to the parties at the lake too, right?
Yes, they used to have a...
They had a lake?
Independence Lake. It's now a county park. That used to be... Argus used to have that.
When we were digitizing the Argus Eye, that's one of the things we noticed the most about the company, was that you had so many social activities that took place. So let's go through a few of those. Art?
One thing we had was a bowling team. We had golf as well. And, of course, we always had the picnic, like Milton mentioned, out at Independence Lake. We would go out there every year, roughly. And then we also had Christmas parties at Christmas time at the Michigan Union. And everybody, of course, dressed up and went up there, and we had dancing and had a great time there. It was really...
Now, did you have a social committee? How did these things happen? Who decided what kinds of social activities you were going to have at the company?
I think that they had a committee and part of personnel and such.
Did you all go to the Christmas parties?
I went to Christmas parties, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I went to my own parties.
We even had our own department parties.
Now, you socialize among the employees. Do you have a good relationship with administration? Are they very democratic, or there is a hierarchy?
If all the people in personnel and other parts of the company were usually got along very, very well with everyone.
So anyone could join the bowling team or the golf league?
Sure.
Since there was a lot of socializing, and there were men and there were women at the company, did you see much romance or marriages between employees? Because we have a lot of wedding pictures in those Argus Eyes.
Right. Well, there are a lot of couples that were married. For example, like Don Crump and Peggy Crump both worked there.
So the dances could spark a lot of...
Yeah, they had a big band there that played music. Everybody got up and danced.
Another thing in the Argus Eye, there were a lot of pictures of graduates and of children of the employees being given scholarships and that. Were there many opportunities for the children of the employees to get to know each other socially? You mentioned the camp. Did the whole families go to the summer picnics and that?
Yeah, it was a park. Well, I don't know if anyone's been out to the Independence Lake. Now it's a county park.
Argus didn't own the park, did they?
No, they leased it from...
They leased it.
Yes. And they, but they put in all of... Yep. You know, swing sets and everything for the children, and docks where you could fish off of. And
so they were open all summer, and then you can just come whenever you want?
Yes,
oh,
exactly.
So it wasn't open just for special picnics. You could go there all summer long?
Yes, it was open all summer long. Mm-hmm.
So families could take advantage of it and get to
exactly,
know each other?
Yes.
When you were bought out, did you still have a lot of communication with administration and that after the company was bought out in the 60s?
When Sylvania bought Argus, then everything stayed pretty much the same. In fact, the benefits were actually better. When General Telephone was in the process of buying Sylvania, it didn't take long before they just closed up everything. They didn't want anything to do with cameras or flash bulbs that Sylvania made or anything, so they just closed all these plants.
Do any of you have photographs of yourself in the Argus Eye?
Yes. At various times when anybody had a birthday coming up, their picture would be put in the paper. I know I won a ham at one time, and I think...
Now, one of the things that I was really interested in the Argus Eye is people get money for suggestions. Now, did any of you put in suggestions and get some money? It's quite a big sum, some of them.
Yeah, they would... Depending on how much money they would save, they would they would give you if you saved $1 a camera, and over a period of how many years you could they would give you half of what they saved. So it could be several hundred dollars or even $1,000 or so.
So have any of you put in a suggestion and got some money?
I got a suggestion one time, and I didn't get very much. I only got, I think, $200 or something like that. I don't even remember what it was.
Probably a spring or something in a camera.
I know I've come up with, developed something else on the toggle assembly on the, and another employee at in the service department, I showed it to him how it was a handmade piece and eliminated several parts. And I was going to turn it as a suggestion, but he beat me to it. I showed it to another fellow.
Oh, gosh.
What a rat.
And he got several $100s for it.
Really?
Yeah.
The Argus Eye, does everybody read them religiously when it comes out? Who is the editor? Is there a department, or is that a human resource department that puts them out?
I think they had a couple of people that were doing all the editing for them.
It's very nicely done. It's very professional looking.
I believe Eddie Gower.
So it was an in-house public. They didn't send it out to have it formatted or anything.
No.
They did it all in-house.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the profit-sharing program at Argus? Did any of you participate in the profit-sharing, and how did it work?
Yes.
Art, how did it work?
Well, basically, you put in a dollar, and the company put in a dollar, and it just grew from there.
Right? Sometimes, though, they put in as much as $3 for every
dollar
you put
depending on what the
amount of profit there was.
Profit had been established.
And it's voluntary participation, though, right? So you don't have to do it.
Correct.
How often did the payouts happen? Was it an annual thing,
yes,
or did you save it up?
Annual.
Annual.
They'd just go in your account. They would give you so much every year, depending on their profits.
Now, is there a retirement plan as well?
No, that was it.
There was an Argus Credit Union. Was that in it? From what we could tell, it was run by an employee board? Who belonged to the credit union?
There was Henry Christopherson was one of them.
Right.
But there was three or four people that were determined whether you'd get a loan or not.
Yeah.
But you all participated in the credit union? Was it your bank, or it wasn't like the U of M credit union, where it was a full bank and everything, mm-hmm, or was it?
No.
Do you stay in contact with other former Argus employees? Elwin?
My brother. I see Don Crump about once a month.
Right.
Goes to our church, Don and Peggy.
And, of course, Art Parker here, who's not here. Yeah.
He lives around the corner from me, but I don't see him only when I bump into him in the grocery store, and then he calls me Art.
I still see quite a few old Argus employees. I was one of the owners of Here in Camera in Dexter, which we were all Argus people at one time when that started. And I still see a lot of those people around. I went to camera shows. We sold cameras at camera shows and such. I'd run into them.
Now, what we want to know is, after Argus went away, what did you do? I mean, you started Here on Camera.
There was a group of us. There was a group of us. About Art was in a group.
Seven.
There was
So seven. Who was name the people that were in the group?
Some of them didn't work for Argus. So yeah. Dorothy Weir would have been Argus employee. See, Bob and Jerry were not part of Argus, and.
So tell us what Here on Camera was, how it came about.
Harry Swanson.
He was not an Argus employee.
Right.
It came about when they moved it to South Carolina, and we'd started myself, I had a supervisor, and we'd start repairing cameras in back in Ann Arbor, and then we moved out to Dexter, and we were repairing cameras for Argus because they couldn't handle it. So when that was being dissolved, I was commuting to South Carolina and back, and this group we put together here were subcontracting repairs for Argus. In other words, we were charging them so much for every camera that they we repaired for them. And that turned out where we ended up being one of the largest service centers in the country.
Now, Ellen, what did you do after Argus?
I worked a couple different places. Ann Arbor Press was one of them for a while, for about 5 years, and then that folded up. Then I went to Linden Color Lab over in Dexter, and that was a photography, which I was really interested in. And I worked for them for 10 years, and then I started my own studio because I was on the road a lot visiting photographers all over in Toledo and Detroit. Did school photography, kids in grade school.
Now, what else would some of the other employees do after Argus? You know, that must have been a shock when the company went away. I mean, 900 to 1,300 people? What did people do? Were there a lot of hardship? They were able to morph into other professions?
Well, a lot of people went to the university.
Right.
And I think that's probably the biggest employer where Argus employees went to is the university. I think some of them just retired early and such because there wasn't many jobs. Some went to Ford. A couple of employees that were in the service center went to Ford's. And I think that's probably the biggest employees, the university and Ford's and places like that.
We'd like to thank Milt, Art, and Elwin for getting together with AADL to talk about their years at Argus. For more information on the history of Argus Camera, please visit ONews at onews.aadl.org. Music for this episode was Strolling by Alan Marchand of his Blues for All Occasions album, which you can find on the AADL catalog by going to aadl.org/magnatunes. AADL Talks to Argus Camera has been a production of the Ann Arbor District Library. Mm-hmm.